Jesus paid it all. Out of his love, he paid it all. And he wants all of us to grow deeper and deeper in our relationship with him. He wants us to go further than we've ever been. That means this Sunday should mark a deeper, a greater, a further journey with Jesus than yesterday did. How many of you are willing to take the journey? How many of you are willing to take the journey? Let me see your hands. All right. Thank you so much. Because the reality is that Jesus wants you to come on the journey with him, to go deeper in your worship, to go deeper in your learning and discipleship, but also to go deeper in ministry and on mission with him. I have to check for a moment here. How many of you still excited? How many of you are still excited that school started? Okay, this side, respond first. I'm going to talk to you all, okay? no, really. Now, with all that, how many of you remember learning curriculum or studies from third grade? How many remember that? Be it homeschool. You remember that time, third grade. Raise your hands if you remember that. You haven't been in third grade? You're still in third grade? And if you were still studying third grade curriculum till this day, what would that look like for you? I mean, really, what grades do we have in here? What grade are you all in?
Sixth.
All right. Seventh? Woo! Seventh. All right. Eighth?
Yeah.
Ninth?
Woo!
Wow. Tenth?
Woo!
11th?
Woo!
And you know you're about to get out of here. You're in the 12th grade.
Woo!
Oh, this is the crew right here. All right, here it is. But if you were still in the third grade, what would that say about your progression? If somewhere you got stuck, if after all this time, you're in the third grade. It's like somebody being at home plate and they hit the ball and they run the first and they just stay on first. What is that to say? Could it be that many of our spiritual walks got stuck in third grade on first base when Christ is calling us to go deeper? Come with me in Luke chapter 5. Turn on your apps, flip in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. You may be familiar with this passage, but I want to hear it once more in our final installment in going deeper. As we talk about going deeper with Christ, particularly in this context in missions and ministry, hear again the story of Simon's encounter with Jesus, Simon's encounter with the Savior. Luke chapter 5. I'll begin reading at the first verse. I want you to hear the story. It says, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled the other partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Here it is. And Jesus says to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. Do not be afraid, because from now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. This is Simon's encounter. And we pick up in this encounter, particularly when Simon begins to dialogue with the Savior. He begins to dialogue with Jesus, realizing that Jesus came and met a need. You understand the context. You understand what happens here. Simon had an issue. He didn't catch anything. He didn't catch any fish. He didn't catch anything in terms of his livelihood for that era, that time. And Jesus came and Jesus responded to his need. So at obedience of Christ, he lets down the nets and he takes in a boatload of fish. So much fish that he had to call others. You understand the context. And share the fish with them, and their boats were sinking. But notice now, as we turn the corner, Simon isn't caught up in the catch. He's actually caught up in Christ, because amidst all of the fish, amidst all that was in the boat, he drops to his knees and he confesses, "I'm sinful." Hear me well. Our relationship with Jesus begins when we come face to face with him, understanding that he is in our lives to meet our greatest need. But he doesn't stop there. For Simon says, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." And Jesus says to him, "Do not fear." We got to park here. Because Jesus wants us to go on mission with him. He wants us to be invested in ministry with him. He wants you to give your very all to joining him in his work. And he says to Simon, "Do not be afraid." I like that. He said, "Because from now on, you will be catching men." Do not be afraid. At this point is a progression in their relationship. Notice the progression. Jesus comes and he feels the need that Simon has. And then he speaks into Simon's life. Simon confesses, I got sin. I'm messed up. And Jesus speaks into his life, not condemning him, but he says, "No, don't fear, because I'm about to transform your life." See the progression? You will be a fisher of men. Sometimes what happens in our lives, I often wonder, what led Simon to be afraid? Anybody ever been in a fearful situation? Let me see, three people, four people? You ever been there where you were just terrified to go forward? Didn't know which way to turn? I imagine that the reason Simon falls to his knees, one, because he may have been overwhelmed by the majesty that was before him in Christ Jesus. He may have been overwhelmed by the blessing that has come forth. But then he may have been overwhelmed by the fact that God's glory shined a light on his sinfulness. And in all of that, Jesus still says, "Do not be afraid." I went to the movies yesterday. How many of y'all went to the movies to see the movie? Wasn't that a powerful movie? I mean, it's a powerful movie. I like the old lady, particularly when she got happy in the kitchen. I don't want to spoil the movie now. Let me see here. How many saw the movie yesterday? War Room? Oh, that's not enough. Okay, let me check it out here. You remember that scene, for those who saw the movie? We're not going to give it away, but those who saw the movie, you remember the scene when the old lady was in the kitchen and she was excited, she was celebrating, and she said, "You got beat." I'm going to just stop right there. That's my favorite part of the movie, The reality is that what we see here, sometimes we get fearful. And when I went to that movie theater, I went there with some of my nieces. Very young nieces. And they walked in the movie theater and it was dark. It was dark and they were afraid. And I remember telling them, "Oh, don't worry. Because all of a sudden you'll see on that screen the lights are going to shine." They were walking in, they were excited, but they were fearful. And all of a sudden the screen came up and the lights started to shine. Hear me well, that no matter what's happening in our lives right now, no matter what's happening in your life, on the school campus, those things that are preventing you, are causing you to fear going further with God, hear me well, you are always safe when you're in Jesus' care. Did you hear me? So that when you step out with Jesus, you're always on good ground. You're always safe when you're with Jesus. And I want you to hear this because Jesus wants to take you further, further than you've ever been. He wants to take you further. And hear him now tell Simon in the text. He says, fear not. Don't get caught up in it. Fear not. How do I go further in Jesus? How do I go further in missions and in ministry? By sacrificing and serving. How do I go further? First of all, I got to forsake fear. Tell your neighbor, forsake fear. Now, you didn't even tell him like you knew what that meant. Tell him, don't be scared. Okay, I'm gonna tell you like I did it from the street when I was younger. Don't be scared. And the reality is, you don't have to be scared when you're doing it for the master. Why? Because he's right there with you. So he tells Simon, fear not. In fact, studies have shown that there are 365 times in scripture where we hear the terms fear not. 365 times, which means for every day of our lives, there is a passage of scripture where you are reminded that you do not have to fear. You don't have to fear going forward with God, because going forward with him is the best place you can be. And so he speaks into Simon's life. Understand the text. He speaks to Simon's life, and he calls him to forsake fear and begin to trust deeper in God. And that's what I'm calling you to do. I'm calling you to go further, to take what you know of God and his faithfulness, and trust him in going further to represent him. God has placed you in strategic places in your community, amongst your friends, amongst your family, in your school, so that you can do a great work in his name, discovering more of him, but also representing him more. He wants you to go deeper, and you don't have to be caught up in fear, because even though Simon thought that he was disqualified, Jesus says, from now on, you will be fishers of men. So he says, forsake. Basically, you're forsaking fear, and you're going deeper in trusting God, because God wants you to go deeper. Not only that, but also continue to look at text, because Jesus says to him, do not be afraid from now on. So if we're going to go further in ministry, I believe you're going to need from now on to operate in a from now on kind of faith. That no matter what has happened behind you, no matter what mistakes you feel you've made, no matter what sin we've gotten in, Jesus paid it all. Don't forget that. And so he provides for us forgiveness of our sins when we confess them before him. And guess what? From that point on, from this day on, you can have a from now on faith. You can operate that I don't have to be caught up in my mistakes that I made yesterday. I don't have to be caught up in the guilt of yesterday when I come before God and I ask for forgiveness. That he cleanses us so that you can go forward and be more with him. Because all have sinned, every single one of us, from the pulpit to the chairs. Everyone has. And Jesus' blood is just as sufficient today as it was on Calvary's cross, to forgive you of your sins so that you too can operate in what Jesus says in the text, from now on. From now on, God wants to do a greater thing in your life. The question is, are you willing to let him? That was a question. Are you willing to let him? Are you willing to let God do more in your life? Are you willing to allow Jesus to bring you further than you've ever been before? He tells Simon here, from now on, you will be a fisher of men. He speaks to him. From now on, you will be. He's speaking personally to Simon, but hold on, not just to Simon, but to everyone in the spirit. Because the text says that after they got to shore, they all left and followed him. So now his invitation wasn't just to Simon, but to James and John, the sons of Zebedee, but not just to them. His invitation is to you right now. Are you willing to go further and follow him by forsaking fear? And by operating under that from now on kind of faith. God is blessed that the way we do that is by committing our lives personally to the cause and work of Jesus Christ. And when you do that, God has blessed you to make a difference and to be a difference and to share with him in what it takes, share with him in what it takes to win a world for him. But you gotta be willing to walk by faith from now on, not sitting and soaking and getting all the blessings, getting all the fish, and never going out to bless somebody else. Has God blessed anybody in here? let me check for a moment here. Let me check for a moment here. He's blessed you to be a blessing to someone else by operating not in guilt, but the fact that God has forgiven you, that you can tell someone else that I was here, but for my own, I'm going forward here. Last year, I may have done it this way, and that was wrong. But from now on, since I'm closer walking with Christ Jesus, I'm going to do it a different way. You got to operate in that kind of faith. But not only that, if we're going to go further in our ministry and mission with the Lord, go deeper in trusting him, you got to stop being fearful. You have to forsake fear. You have to operate in a from now on kind of faith. But you also have to locate where God is working and be willing to join in with him. You gotta locate where he's working. Find out where God is working and join in. And anybody here ever lost your cell phones? Yeah. And what do you do when you lose your cell phones? Okay, somebody said freak out. That's a good response. That's. But what's the next? Come on, help me. What's the next thing you do when you lose your cell phone? How you call if you don't have your cell phone?
My mom.
What's that? Oh, use your mom's phone. You get someone else's phone so that you can ring your... We call our phones. That's a whole nother image in my mind. But that you can ring your phone so that you can know where, so you can locate it, right? Hear me well. That greater than searching out our cell phones when they get lost, we ought to search out what God is doing and where he is doing it. Because God wants to use you, but if we're not careful, we'll ignore the fact that God is working on my best friend. God is working on my best friend's heart, but I didn't slow down enough to realize that. That God is working on my family member, that one I know needs to get closer to God, but I didn't slow down enough to call God up and say, hey, and really, you don't have to dial on your phone. We call God up on our knees. But you got to call him to see where he's working, so that we can participate in that. Why? Because God is joining you. Jesus is inviting you to participate with him to make a difference in someone's life. I ask you all the time when I come here, how many of us in here have friends we know are unsaved? How many? We do. And could it be that God is working on your heart first to work on their heart so that you can draw them and bring them closer into a relationship with him? But if you don't locate where God is working, then you'll miss that opportunity. You forsake fear, step out, trusting God deeper. You operate in some from now on faith that no matter what happened in the past, from now on, God is doing something greater in my life and with my life. And you locate where God is working and you join in with him. But not only that, not only do you locate where God is working, continue to look at Simon's story. The text says that when they had gotten to shore, don't miss this. When they have gotten to shore, they left their boats and their nets and they began to follow him. They left some things that were not beneficial for the journey. They left behind anything not fit to go along with them that would be preventing them from going forward. They left it. Hear me well. God wants you to go deeper with him. He wants you to go deeper with him in study. And that's why life groups are so important, because in the context of your life group, you can learn to share your faith. You can learn to share with others. You can learn to serve others in your life groups. But you can also learn to serve a community through your life groups. But the only way you can do that is there's some things we gotta let go of and leave behind. You ever went to class? When I was in school, I was notorious for being the last one to the lockers. And it just so happened that every time I was there, my combination wouldn't work right. Okay. Anybody in here ever had that experience? Right here. Okay, here. I mean, really, it's like somebody messed it up, and we used to have a trick. We used to do the first two numbers, and then one little section before the third number, you leave it there so that when you get to the locker real quick and you're late, you can turn it and pull it down. See, I got one person. Y'all don't know nothing about that. It's all right now. You know about that? Yeah, that was me. I remember. And so oftentimes, hear me, I used to grab things in a hurry, stick them in my bag. I guess y'all can't carry bags anymore, huh? You can? In high school? Well, I was in high school, so that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. I stick them in my bag, and I was rushing, right? I was rushing only to get to the class and realize I had the wrong book. Has that ever happened to anybody in here?
Yes. Hmm?
Has there ever been that you didn't get the right uniform shorts and you're there and you're looking around like, I don't have what I need? In our spiritual lives, that happens. Where we're carrying all the stuff that we shouldn't be carrying on the journey. And God is challenging you even through this message right now to identify those things that are in your life, those sinful practices, those sinful behaviors, even those pointless practices and performances that we do. And he's saying, you know what? You got to leave that behind to go forward. Sometimes that's the wrong relationships. Can I get in your Kool-Aid just for a moment? Yeah, you could. Oh, y'all don't know what Kool-Aid is. I'm thinking, yeah. Can I get in your email account for a moment? Can I pull up, let's see here, your Instagram account? Okay, I'm talking to them, not y'all. and check out who you're following to see who's able to post on your timeline and find out whether or not if God was posting, would anything else change from what's on the scene of your page? Hear me well. They left everything to follow him. God is calling you to evaluate that which is around you, that which is about you, and see what purpose he has in it in your life that will bring you further with him. Because if it doesn't, today's a good day to leave it behind. You know what it is. It could be some practice. But he wants you to go further with him. So you have to leave some things behind. And you know what? It's worth it. Because no matter what you give up for Christ, you'll understand that you'll gain greater in your relationship with him than feeling the need for what you've just given up. As I hurry on, if we're going to go deeper in ministry and in mission, hear me well, you have to forsake fear. Say that, forsake fear. You have to forsake fear. You have to operate in faith. Say that, operate in faith. You have to locate where God is working. I got three people getting it. Yeah. Locate where God is working. You have to leave behind those things that aren't fit for your journey. Hear me well. Because God wants to take you further. But today in prayer, I'm going to invite you to leave some things behind. I mean, let's be real. There are some things you have to cut loose because they're slowing your progression in here. But you're supposed to also have to observe what Jesus is leading you as Lord to do and obey his instructions. Notice it says they left their boats and they followed him. The only way to follow is to observe someone as your leader, do what you see them do, put your hand where they put their hands, put your feet where they put their feet. Here, Jesus, they had enough understanding to know who Jesus was as Savior and Lord that they knew that it didn't matter what they left behind, fame, fortune, it doesn't matter, fishing, no matter what they left behind, they knew it was better to follow him, and that's what they did. They followed him in ministry. They followed him in mission. And you cannot truly be following Christ if you are not catching men. Because that's what Jesus did. He rescued us from our sins. So if Jesus is in the rescuing business, since he is in the rescuing business, if you're following him, wouldn't that mean you're supposed to be rescuing too? But you have to observe him as your Lord. Not only do you observe him as your Lord, but you have to obey his word. Be attentive to what he says and respond to his way and commit to his witness. That when people see you, they see who you are following. Let me check. I know Facebook's for old people, right? I'm saying I'm catching on. By the time I get a Facebook account, y'all done moved on to something else. But so it's all good. It's all good. But have you ever been, can you do this in Instagram? I don't know. Can you check out who's following who? Oh, you can? Have you done that before?
Yeah.
I know. Okay. All right. There's someone in your class, in your community, even here in this sanctuary, who's looking to see who you're following. And I'm not talking about Instagram. I'm talking about your life being a living representation of the gospel, so that someone who needs to know Christ might look at your life and follow the way you're doing. That's called discipleship, where you're coming alongside someone else and they can see through your life how to get closer to Christ. But you have to observe Christ as your Lord, and you have to obey his word. That's how you follow. Otherwise, you're faking it. Because the only way to follow is to do what he did, to learn what he said, and to understand his life. And finally, if we're going to go deeper in our mission and ministry with God, if we're going to go deeper in your relationship with Jesus Christ, you also have to begin to work. You have to work with the objective of catching fish. Notice he says, from now on, you will be fishers of men. This is Jesus' objective. To bring people into relationship with God. His objective is to catch. And he's calling us to go deeper with him so that we too can be catchers of men. Because he's assigned you. He's given you an assignment to make disciples. This is the greatest assignment of your life. This is what you're graded on. Because he said to the church, go and make disciples. You have to first be a disciple. And as a disciple, then you work. I will make you fishers of men. You work with the objective of catching for Christ. And the way you do that is you do it the way Christ did it. He went where people were. He didn't live in isolation or insulation. He went where people were. He ministered to their need because they hadn't caught anything, but he ministered to their need. He spoke into their lives. He said, I understand where you are, but I want to take you further somewhere. Somebody's waiting for you to speak into their lives. Oh, but after he spoke into their lives, he led them into a new life. He wants you to be his instrument to do the same in someone else's. The question is, will you? Because before you is a homework assignment. The question is asked, how do I go deeper? You go deeper by following him. By following him. By forsaking fear. Trusting in him deeper. By operating with a from now on faith. Whatever I did in the past, I'm going to do it better from now on. By locating where God is working and joining him. By leaving those things that will hamper or be a barrier to you going further in him. By observing him as your Lord and your Savior. And by working to catch men for Christ. Are you willing to follow him?
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things he created instead of him. We have chosen to reject his authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things he created instead of him, which is ultimately pointless given that he is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before he forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and he took upon our punishment on himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.